Have you seen Death Note?
Nope. It's one of those things I just never have stopped to watch, but keep saying that I'll stop and watch it one day.
It's only like 30 episodes.
I guess that's not that bad at all. I just have never actually like sat down and said, I'm going to watch this now. You know, but I've heard about it for years. But I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's good. What's up? It's May 9th, 2023. Weekend Weaves, episode 27. And I was thinking about the episode count. And I was like, we've been doing this for about half a year now at this point. Even though we haven't done it consistently, weekly, every single week. But for the most part, we've been pretty consistent. So, I guess shout out to us. I don't know. but I'm excited for this week because we got... This was just like a really good week for episodes. Jason's eating Doritos. I can hear the bag.
My bag is complete.
but yeah, this is a good week for anime. Very horny week. So I'm just ready to get into it.
Don't really like how you phrased that, but...
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
I said it was a really horny week.
Yeah.
Was it not?
I don't think so.
You don't think this is a horny week?
Only two shows.
I say four. I say all four.
What?
Yeah, I say all four.
Demon Slayer was like barely anything.
I don't know. That chief was feeling it.
Yeah, but it wasn't like no fan service or nothing. It was just like jokey.
Yeah, no, it wasn't fan service. But there were elements of it in every show. Some, obviously, a lot more than others.
Oh, Vinland
there was. Yeah.
He was creeping. Come on,
man.
That's crazy. Okay. I guess it's a fair statement to make.
Come on, man. Let's get into Demon Slayer, our most popular show here. I see we got some things came true that you said. I think we were debating whether he was a demon or not.
Yeah, I was like, he's half demon. And you were like, he's not half demon. He's not half
demon. I don't think he's half demon.
There's nothing that shows he's half demon. Bro is half demon, bro.
I don't think he's a half demon.
Then what is he?
Might be a full demon.
Bro, he's half demon, bro.
How are you half demon? Unless they're just going to introduce half demons.
How is he not half demon?
Oh, why do you think he's half demon and not just a demon?
I mean, we've seen him outside and walking around normally. Have we actually seen him during the daytime?
I don't know. Like, have we ever seen Genya during the day? I don't know. We've seen him. The only times I can think of where we've actually seen Genya is... Well, no, I mean, right after they finish their
first training, that was daytime. Yeah,
that was during the day. So, I don't know. Maybe he got turned into a demon after that time?
I doubt it.
We don't know the story. I mean, but think about the second time that we see him, he's way bigger and taller.
I mean, he's older.
How much older? 2 years?
Tendril's bigger and taller, too.
Not really.
He is.
I mean, not as much as Genya did. Like, Genya, like, towers over Tendril. Like, they're, like, the same size, like, after.
I mean, he's always been taller than him.
But not as much as slightly. That. Like, Tendril even said something about it. He was like, whoa, that guy got really big. Like, he's, like, way bigger than before. He makes Tendril look like a little kid the second time they meet.
Tendril is a little kid.
But so is Genya. Is he not?
I think Genya's older than him.
Okay. I see how old Genya is. Watch it be like 1,000 years old.
Genya's 16.
Okay. How old is Tanjiro? 14?
I think so.
How old is Tanjiro season 3?
He's 13. Tanjiro is 13 years old.
No, well, no. It says he's 15 by episode 3.
15 by episode 3. Oh, yeah, because he had 3-year time. Remember, yeah. He was training.
So they're not different in age, really. I mean, some people just are taller. Obviously, we've seen that before.
He didn't look that much bigger than Tanjiro. He was standing on the tree. He didn't look that much bigger than Tanjiro when he was in a demon form.
You talking about in this season?
Yes.
Okay, maybe in this season they're not that different in size.
So what are you talking about?
I'm talking about when they first... Okay, the second time Tanjiro saw him. Like, the very second time. They bumped into each other in the hallway.
During this season?
No, this is season 1.
During season 1?
Yeah, it was the second time Tanjiro saw Genya. They didn't even, like, communicate or anything. But Tanjiro just, like, saw him. He never
communicates.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Genya's second appearance. Genya,
like, he's in the hallway with him.
Appearance. This is, like, 5 years ago.
He looked like a giant compared to Tanjiro at that time. But people have growth spurts and stuff, so I'm not going to say it's not necessarily just because he's a demon. But he was way bigger than him. While you look at that, I'm just going to try to describe this episode, even though it's been a minute since I saw it. So one of the main things that happened. So Kido starts fighting the vase demon.
Uh-huh. Well, that's not how it starts.
How's it start?
He saves the swordsmith dude who has his new sword. And then after they leave from fighting that fish, they go to the shed. But then he senses the upper demon is there. And then the dude's like, oh, I can't believe you sense me. And he's like, I want to show you my art before I kill you. And then it was like a bunch of other swordsmiths compiled into one body in agonizing pain with their swords inside of their body. And if you twist it, it'll make them scream. And then that's what happened.
I remember because, he twisted and blood flew out and they started screaming. Yeah,
screaming. And then the other two dudes were crying because, you know, they know them. And, the kid was crying and the other guy was like, get back. And then the Hashira was like, all right, you kind of suck, so I'm just going to kill you now. And then they fought for it. So you're right. Yeah, that it did kind of start with them fighting. And then he's figuring out, like, his bases are his vessel, and he also comes to the conclusion if he cuts his head off, he'll die. He won't multiply like the other dude. And then he was like, how are these bases spawning? And then the dude can use, like, blood demon art to create things out of his bases. He had, like, some puffer fishes. Not even puffer fish. It was, like, regular goldfish, but they shot out needles. And they all use poison. Like, every single demon uses poison. I think I've come to the conclusion that
at this point,
poison is their main way of neutralizing a demon slayer before they can eat them or kill them. Because everybody's been, like, Rengoku. Was he poisoned?
He wasn't poisoned.
He wasn't poisoned. That dude was just weakened.
Just raw strength. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but Tengen was poisoned.
Yeah. I don't know if the upper, if the fourth, the one Tanjiro is fighting to use his poison or not.
Yeah, he didn't use any poison or nothing. So they're fighting, and then the puffer fishes come out. They shoot the little needles, and obviously the two dudes, the regular, like, bystanders and the swordsmith, the kid and the swordsmith, are just causing unnecessary problems because they're just there, and now there's, like, he has to protect them instead of him just being able to fight. So he took unnecessary damage, and that's how he got poisoned. And then he told him to run because they're, you know, they're being a distraction, they weren't helping him. So they leave, and then he's fighting, and then he cuts off his hand, one of his hands, and the dude puts him in a, he's going to try to drown him to death, puts him in water.
I've seen this move before.
So
Zabuza's water prison.
Yeah, so he's stuck in there, and then it cuts back to Tanjiro and Nezuko, and last episode they left off getting completely forced down in the bottom of that building, and they were just knocked out. It was kind of weird how like quick they cut to them being back up, because it looked like they were knocked out like for good. And I don't know what took so long for the people to get down there, the demon to get down there, but apparently Nezuko woke up first, grabbed Tanjiro, and she was running, and then Tanjiro woke up, and he was
like,
"Wasn't
it that like
the
whole
me.
Like town got blown up, and it was like really dusty or something, and they couldn't see where they were?"
Well, that was the second thing. That was the second thing. Okay. This is from last episode. Remember at the end of the last episode, they got pushed all the way to the bottom of the building because the dude used the fan. Okay. He smacked the fan down, and it pushed both of them to the bottom. They were just laid out, like knocked out. And then it cut back to somebody. I think it cut back to the other Hashira in the forest, and then it was like a cliffhanger, or the episode ended, or it just showed them laid out, knocked out in the ground, and then it cliffhangered. And then this one, when it got back to him, Nezuko was up and running with Tanjiro on her shoulder. And then after that happened, Tanjiro woke up. He's like, "Oh, Nezuko came too before I did." And then they switched spots, or they got electrocuted again. And then he switched spots and he grabbed her. And then they were running. And then the other guy, the demon, sent the other version of him with the fan to go chase him and like knock him away. He's in the hallway. He uses his fan two times. They like make two turns, and then he's like, "All right, whatever. I'm just gonna blow the whole building up." Blew the whole building up. Nezuko grabs his Tanjiro sword, and then this is where the rubble like is just everywhere. They can't see anything. It's smoke, and they can't find him. And Nezuko just keeps grabbing Tanjiro's sword. He's like, "Let go, let go. Like, we can run. I'll move the rubble. Let go." And then
I thought she was trying
bleeding.
To stab herself or something.
Yeah, at first it kind of looked like she was trying to, like, stab herself. I'm like, what is happening? Maybe it gives her more energy. I don't know. I thought it was going to give her, like, a level up or make her go in a rampage because the damage. I don't know. I didn't know what was going to happen. I wasn't expecting her to put the flames on this sword, but that was pretty sweet. And then she sets the sword on fire, and then he's like, "Oh, a memory from the past, or a memory that is not his, but somebody in his ancestry." He started seeing it, and I'm assuming that's probably like his great-great-grandfather and his grandmother or something, because they look just like him and his sister. And they go back to the guy, the samurai, who has the flame mark on his forehead. Yeah.
I'm gonna pick up and fill the silence. So yeah, he gets a little vision of his ancestor and grandma or whomever. He gets the marks on his head, and then at the same time, the upper fourth demon, the one that splits into different personalities, he's like, "Wait, I'm getting visions of you in this form with this flaming sword. And I don't know where they're coming from. They must be Muzan's images, not my memories, because I've never seen this person." And they're like, "Oh, this is the person that pushed Muzan into a corner before in the past." So then they're kind of stunned. And then Tanjiro does his sun breathing move. And then it's a bunch of fire. And he slices all three of the stunned demons' heads off in like quick succession. And then he's like, "Oh," he's like, "I did it, blah, blah, blah. I finally learned how I can do the sun breathing Honokami, I don't know what it's called, move." And then he does it. And then he's looking for the fourth demon, because he's like, "We probably have to cut all of their heads off simultaneously."
Yeah. So he's like, "I'll just do it again."
Yeah.
He was ready to do it two times. So I was like, okay, that's pretty sweet.
And then he looks over at the fourth demon, and Ginyu's over there, and he's like, "Oh, like, Ginyu tore his head off. Like, was it simultaneous? Like, maybe they're all dead." And then Ginyu, he gets up, like, a better look at Ginyu, and he has, like, yellowish hair coming out of, like, his black hair, and he has, like, giant fangs, and he's looking like a demon.
And black eyes.
Yeah.
He's part demon. He's half demon, bro.
What if he's just a demon, though?
He's not a demon, bro. If he was a demon, why did he just transform there and not be in that state the whole time?
Maybe he didn't want everyone to know he's a demon.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, if he's half demon, okay, how do you become a half demon? Because so far...
Know, maybe, I don't know. He's just half demon.
Because so far, the only other people in the world...
Maybe, like, injected demon blood in him. Kind of like how they do it. Or something like that. But not, like, to the point where it transforms you completely. Because Muzan gives the other demons his blood.
Right.
So maybe he, like, got demon blood, but not, like, a whole bunch. Just a small, super minute. Or he got, like, a low-level demon. Because Muzan's blood is just crazy. Like, you can't take it. Even when he gives it in small doses, it's like, their bodies don't, you know, can't always take it. So maybe he got, like, a super low-level demon and got their blood. And just put a small amount in.
Maybe. I just, like, I don't... Like, the only two people who have turned people into demons are Muzan and Tameo. And she's only been able to turn one person into a demon. Besides herself. Or no. What, did she turn herself? Or was she turned? I think she just turned her assistant.
Well, I think any demon can turn somebody into a demon.
I don't know if any demon can. I feel like only like the upper. I feel like only the upper 12 are allowed to.
You just give them blood. From what we know, you just give them your blood, and if their body accepts it, then they'll become demon.
But it's like, are they allowed to do that though?
I mean, who's gonna stop him? How he's gonna know?
Muzan.
You think Muzan knows exactly where every single demon is?
I think so.
At any point in time.
But he'd be summoning them.
Yeah, he summons them. He can summon them, but I don't think he's just like... So you think all the ancillary, like the ancillary, the like low-level, non-important demons, like he knows exactly where they're at all moments in time.
Nah,
another thing that's interesting is that they only show us the... we've only been seeing like the upper moons and the lower moons. We haven't seen... We've seen one demon that used to be an upper moon, but got casted out to do with the drums.
Yeah.
But other than that, we haven't really seen any other demons. You know what I mean? Like demons that just are low level.
You mean since like season one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's also why Tanjiro hasn't gotten a solo W since season one.
I mean, he just got a solo W now.
Was it solo, though?
I mean, his sister set his sword on fire, and he just cut three of them instantly. I give that a seal of approval of basically a solo dub.
I don't know. This is a solo dub. He also... I mean, we don't even know that demon's dead. Also.
Yeah, we don't know, but I'm not gonna lie. He basically soloed an upper moon, so... Or a lower... So he like, is he not Hashira level? Like, he's basically...
I mean, I would say Hashira at this point, level. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I don't know. Maybe they'll try to say there's some circumstances why, but no one else was there, so.
Yeah.
From their point of view, I mean, yeah, he basically soloed a Hashira. Not a Hashira.
I mean, he has some of the most experience fighting Hashiras, or upper demons and lower demons.
Like, more than even Hashiras.
He's seen, like, five of them.
Yeah.
He's, like, in the middle of the pack in, like, ranking. And he's seen, like, five upper demons and survived all of them. So.
Also, I feel like the story is kind of going away from... It seemed like Muzan was trying to capture Tanjiro and kill him. But now it doesn't even feel like he cares anymore. Like, he's just on the flower. He hasn't even mentioned it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's kind of how it was. Like, when was the last time he sent someone specifically to kill Tanjiro?
The dudes with the ball.
Yeah, like, that was a while ago.
That was season. But then he tried to capture Nezuko last season.
With who? Oh, with the girl with the...
Yeah.
What's her name? The sister?
Her and her brother, yeah.
He did tell her about her. Okay. I mean,
But this time it's like, I just want to see your leads. I just want to kill the head.
Yeah.
He's probably like, I guess
he probably didn't know that they were going to be there.
Yeah.
He probably didn't want to send anyone specific. Like, he doesn't send anyone out specifically to look for Tanjiro and his sister. It's kind of just like, they might be in this area. So if you do see them, get them. But, like, I'm not going to send you directly to them. But if more upper demons die, I feel like at that point he's going to send people directly.
Yeah.
Because it's really unprecedented. But, I mean, I think that's all I got to say about Demon Slayer this week.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about old girl. I mean, she didn't really do much. She just came in and killed all the damn fishes and saved the... Chief, yeah. That's really it. There was nothing more to that.
His sword is interesting. It's like a
It's like a whip.
Yeah, or like what is it called? Like the people that go with the marching band, or not the marching band?
A lasso, like, a tassel,
sort of like that. Yeah, like they swing it around into like circular shapes and stuff like that. That's what it reminds me.
Yeah,
of.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Hopefully, we see more of her. I don't like the thing with me in this. Season that feels a little different is like, so Kido's fighting by himself. I assume, I don't know who's gonna win.
They're all gonna come together eventually. Him.
Do you think they're gonna come together?
Yeah, I think all three, the two Hashiras, Tanjiro and Genya, are all gonna fight together.
But like right now, this is where I think the story could go, because it feels weird and like kind of disrespectful to the upper demons for them to die. So he's like, for the upper demon that Tanjiro's fighting to die right now, I feel like it feels a little bit like that kind of can't be, just because we've seen how strong upper demons are and for them to be finished that fast. But I mean, it could be also a showing of how strong Tanjiro has gotten. But the sun breathing
is crazy.
Yeah. Like, it could be a showing of how strong he's gotten.
And he's the only one that can do it.
In, like, existence?
Right now, yeah. Nobody else. Yeah.
And all the other breathing techniques come from the sun breathing. The sun breathing is the original breathing technique. And then everything else branches off of that. But nobody uses the sun breathing anymore. And remember when he went to Rengoku's dad? Because he had that notebook. And he was like, do you know about these earrings? And could you tell me more about the sun breathing and technique and stuff like that? And he was just kind of like, I don't really know much about it other than it was the OG breathing and it was like the best one and everything else comes from there. But you can take this book and, you know, look at my notes if you want, but that's about it.
Yeah. I feel like he also had to have known someone who used sun breathing.
Yeah. Because
he was mad and he was like kind of like envious of sun breathing. So I feel like he had to have known someone. But what was I going to say? I feel like unless, you know, the upper level demons aren't really like the main event of this season, because it's only like episode 4 out of like 12.
It's
right?
Only 12 episodes this season, though.
Yeah. So like, if that demon dies now, I feel like it might have something to do with Genya more than the upper levels. If that demon dies,
I mean, he still has to get his new sword and stuff.
Yeah. But like, if he kills this demon and he's dead, and there's like no conflict with Genya at all, then like it would basically,
I mean, he
just
might fight Genya next episode.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like might happen. I feel like that would be like the forward progression, because if that demon dies, I just feel like it would be weird for that demon to die because they're supposed to be so strong.
Yeah, but he used the god technique that god. Even put Muzan against the his god. Back he did. Bro, that's the god technique. That's like the best move possible in the show.
Yeah. I just want to see. I feel like I'll be a little disappointed if the demon is dead, though. I wanted to see more of the demon. But if he fights Genya, then that would be cool, too. But would he kill him? Someone's got to die.
No, they don't. No one has to die.
Someone's got to die. No one died last time. Someone has to die this time.
I don't think.
It's just the rules.
Genya's not dying. Tanjiro's not dying. Maybe Hashira die. Maybe that dude who's poison, he might die.
I'll be upset.
And like some last ditch effort, he'll get all his memories back and then he'll die getting all his memories back.
I absolutely hate that. But I would hate for the girl to die too, because I don't know anything about her.
Besides, I could care less about her.
I would want to know more. All her I know character is that didn't even she seem loves that cool. People.
I mean, she said the whole reason I became a Hashira is to find a husband and a love of my life. And I thought I would need somebody strong to protect me. So that's why I did it. Literally, that's what she said. So she's just looking for a husband. And then once she finds a husband who's strong enough to protect her, then she'll probably quit being a Hashira. Like, that's her whole life and her whole goal. What more do you need to know?
She could have just been the Sound Hashira's wife.
The Sound Hashira?
Yeah, he already has three. He's at four.
Oh, my God. No, she doesn't want that kind of relationship. You call him Sound? Is that what they call him? Sound?
Yeah, he's a Sound Hashira. Is he not?
I don't know. Does he use sound? He just has three swords.
That was the thing about that fucking season. It's like, I feel like with Rengoku and Giyu, like, it was like really, like, this is the flame Hashira. This is the water Hashira. And, like, most of the moves they did showed, like, flame and water. But with him, he was really just, like, fighting. And, like, sometimes he would do, like, special, like, Sound Hashira moves. But for the most part, he was more of a ninja than anything.
Yeah. Like, he had kunais and stuff. Shurikens. He had bombs. He threw bombs.
Yeah. But, like, he didn't really do many, like, of his sound breathing moves. But he is the Sound Hashira. But, yeah, that's all I got for Demon.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for Demon Slayer.
Predictions, you think? I think he's going to fight Ginyu.
I think he'll fight Ginyu. I think what's her name will show up and ask what's going on. No. And then dude is going to be trapped in the bubble. And we'll see that at the end of the episode. Yeah, the whole episode. He'll be thinking inside the bubble. Like, how can he break out? Or he'll use some crazy, like, breathing technique that'll allow him to breathe underwater. So it won't affect him too much.
If Tanjiro kills Ginyu, I feel like that'll be really satisfying.
He's not going to kill Ginyu.
Why not, though? Like, what?
Why would they do that? Why would they have him die right there? That makes no sense.
Is Ginyu important?
I mean, yeah, he's half demon. That's a lot of questions to ask. Why? How are you able to
do this? You keep saying he's half demon, though. What if he's not half demon?
Bro. I don't know what else to tell you. He's half demon. I think he's... To me, it looks like he's half demon. He doesn't look like a full demon. We've seen him in sunlight. We've seen him walk around normally. We've seen him in with no fangs, no black and yellow hair, no black eyes. So, like... And he was hiding something. He was hiding something in the sauna. And it wasn't nighttime when they were in the sauna taking a bath. It was, like, dusk. It was like, still kind of light outside. So...
What if he found the blue lily?
Maybe he did. Maybe he found the flower and is able to utilize it some way, somehow. I don't think that's the case, but... Yeah.
Okay. We'll see. Next Sunday. I think it comes out Sundays. Let's talk about Vinland Saga.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is something I was right about this time.
What were you right about?
Kettle.
What, Kettle was going to punish... What's her name? Arnhide?
Not that he was going to punish her. That I wasn't... necessarily expect.
Yeah, I don't think you, yeah.
But what did you I said that Kettle would not be okay with Arnhide running away with Gardner.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was like, he would not be okay with that.
I mean,
not
he didn't even get the explanation. He was just like, why did you run away? And then she told him she was pregnant, and he was like, is it mine? And she was like, yeah, believe me. And he was like, believe you? I already lost belief. You're the only person I believe. And then, yeah, all hell broke loose.
Yeah, man. I was saying, like, he was not going to let her go. You see, he lost. Well, I feel like partly because he lost his mind, too. because the king is, like, about to fight him. But still.
Yeah. I mean, he feels like his whole life is about to fall in shambles.
Yeah. So let me recap this.
Oh, one more thing before we start. I don't like how they didn't make it a big deal that Leaf found Thorfinn. They didn't even like show them interacting together.
So they never saw each other.
They did. At the end, they were walking together. They went to go see Arnhide in the bed. And then the guy was like,
what the heck?
They were together.
I did not remember that.
Yeah. And they just acted like it didn't matter. And I'm like,
I literally did not see that. Like, I didn't even know it was a thing. That's crazy.
Yeah. And they were like, she might not make it. And then Einar was sitting at the bed like, oh, Arnhide, I'm so sorry.
Let me just recap this. I completely forgot about that. They did not make a deal about it, so I didn't even notice. Leaf and Kettle and Thorgal, they all pull up. Thorgal bowling ball throws Kettle's barrel out of the ship. He's like, all right, guys, we gotta get ready for a fight. Like, put your corn away. Put all your food away. Like, you gotta get ready for this battle. Kettle isn't really talking. He's just like going. He's like obviously in a bad mental state, looking around for Arnhide. He even like passes who I guess now we know is his wife.
Remember we were talking about, is that his? Because they're like the headmistress, and I was like, is that his wife?
Right.
And yeah, we kind of got some clarification. Like, yeah, that's his wife.
Right, walk right by her, did not care about her at all. He's just looking for Arnhide.
She breaks the news too, like, you're the slave woman that you care so dearly about has caused a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
She got some guests killed, and she was like, This is not a situation you can just brush under the rug. This is gonna actually require some true form of punishment. So,
you know, she was happy about that too.
I don't think she really cared. I don't think she cares. Like, if I don't think she cares. She's just like, it's whatever. Like, we're in a relationship, but it's just whatever. You know what I mean?
I guess. She's at like, this whatever. Point.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and then he didn't even care about. He was like, "What? What did she do?" He didn't even care that she got people killed. He was just stuck on the fact that she tried to run away.
Mm-hmm.
And then he leaves. And then it shows her locked up in the shed with the guard. The guard, yeah. And the guard is like, huh, I'm stuck here with a woman and I can't do anything. This sucks. And I'm like, all right, bro, you're a creep.
And then he says, you're lucky. Yo, it's up to Kettle.
Yeah, Kettle, what your punishment would be.
It's up to us. We all will fuck you. That's what he
said, basically. Yeah, well, he was like, we all would have just raped you, basically, to get, you know, payback. He was like, that's the only way our comrades could rest in peace, knowing that we did that to you. And I'm like, oh my god, bro. Like, oh my god. I understand, like, get back, but get back like that is...
That's not even get back.
On, that's like, what, bro? That is insane.
And then he's that touching all there. And then Kettle comes up. He's like,
what are you doing?
Yeah.
He was like, oh, Kettle, no. Dude was mid-grope. He was like, I'm sorry, boss. And then he runs out all scared.
Well, he had to pull his pants up.
And then Kettle was walked in with a stick and was like, why'd you run away? Why'd you try to run away? And then... he was just talking to her. She was just sitting there. I knew he was going to hit her when it was just on her, like, on her. The animation was just stuck on her for a long time. And she was like, I don't even think, was she talking? She might have been mid-talk.
I think she did, yeah. Like, she was about to say something.
And then he was like, flogged her just, and she fell on her side and started, like, gasping for air.
Like, farmer breathing.
Yeah, and then, Kettle was just going off.
That was hard to watch. He was destroying her.
Yeah, he was about to kill her. And then Snake showed up. Because prior to that, well, while all this is happening, Leaf and his crew are trying to go see Thorfinn. Because he's like, Kettle made a deal. If we brought him here, He'll pay for our stock 3 times the price and also give me Thorfinn for free. And then Snake was like, I haven't heard this. I don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, he's super on guard about what just happened because last time he told his crew not to let somebody in. They let him in, and then now he has, like, 4 men dead. So he's probably like, yeah, I'm not taking any chances at all. We could go to Kettle, and I can talk to him, and if he says, yeah, this is what it is, then we can go do it. So Leaver's like, all right, well, let's go find Kettle. You come with me so we can get this done because I'm not trying to get stuck up in this war. That is about to happen. So they go find Kettle. And then the other dude is like, can you also buy 2 slaves? And then Leaf was like, what?
Oh, I'm yeah.
Buying those slaves? Excuse he was me. Like, yeah, I need you to do this. It's this woman and this other dude who is Einar. He was like, even though Einar's about to be free. So, like, I guess yeah. He doesn't know that Einar's about to be free. So he doesn't have to buy Einar. But he's like, can you buy this girl? He's like, why? He's like, please just do it for me because I'm afraid of what Kettle may do or something like that. And then they get there. They see Kettle just going ham with the stick. And Snake is like, grabs it and is basically like, I'll let go if you want to. He's like, if you're okay and ready to live with the consequences of killing your slave because you have the right to do that since that's your property. But if you're not okay with that being the punishment, then I'm not going to let go. But if you're okay, then I'll let go. And then Kettle just let go. And that's when Leaf kind of interrupted. It was like, hey, can I get, you know, Thorfinn? And also, I want to buy 2 other slaves, that woman and the other dude that's with Thorfinn up on the hill. And he's like, who said I don't want her? And at first, I thought he was going to say, oh, dude. And then he was going to snap on, oh, dude.
You thought he was going to hit him?
Yeah, I thought he was going to hit him. Because, like, what do you mean I don't want her? You know, like, because he's just. That's because he didn't say, because Leaf didn't say who said he didn't want her. But I thought he was going to be like, well, this dude right here said you didn't want her.
Word.
He, like, I thought he said, was going to start beating said, him.
Bro, can you imagine? He said, who said I don't want her? He said, take Thorfinn and Einar wherever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
But I'm not selling Arnhide. That yeah, woman belongs fine. To me.
Yeah. I mean, he's right. That's a slave. I mean, it doesn't sound good to say, but he's not wrong. I mean.
Yeah, for the plot of the show, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So.
I just already knew. See, does this at all change
my view on Kettle?
View of Kettle?
Not really. I think he's a lost man. Like, he means well, but a man's ego is a very, very, very sensitive thing. Because if you break somebody's ego, then you don't know how to act. You know how what they'll do and how they'll act. And he even said, he was like, you broke my ego. Like, you know, he's like, I'm okay with everything else, but you kind of just, you know, like, I don't know. It destroyed, like, his
you
his
asked
world
for
is,
it!
Like, his world is kind of already, like, falling around him. And the only thing that he finds, like, solace in was Arnhide. And yeah. I'm assuming they had conversations and they've talked about this because he was like, I trusted you, I believed you, and we even spoke about these things, and you tried to run away from me. So, like, that was, like, the last straw for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was, like, what the heck? Now, I'm not saying what he did is right, and I'm not saying, like, that should be his reaction to what happened, but from his perspective, I could see why he lashed out and acted that way, because he's just, like, at the complete, like you said, he's going crazy, his world is breaking down, and then the only thing he felt like is stable, he finds out doesn't really, you know, want him necessarily. And I don't even think, like you said, I don't think Arnhide's in, like, I don't think she was going to run away with Garter. I don't think that was her intentions, but she was kind of stuck in the situation like, well, I kind of have to do this thing now because he killed these men and I kind of set him free. And yeah, I still love, you know, like, it was like, I do think she genuinely felt like she was going to stay there and be okay with her son and Kettle and everything. But the way things panned out, it was like, it was like half foot out, half foot in. She was kind of, like, what if something happened either way, she was going to go that direction. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. She was half foot out, half foot in. Like, I'm ready to stay here, and I'm also ready to do this. And then when all this stuff happened with Garter, like, he killing the guards, then it was like, all right, she kind of got pushed out the door. So.
Yeah. Her.
So, yeah.
I guess.
And she's going to survive. Like, it's no chance she dies. The baby is probably gone, though, like, guaranteed. I think what will end up happening is that the war will happen. I think Thorfinn will obviously stay to help fight. Einar will probably help stay to fight as well. Leif is probably going to be like, I don't think we should do this. But yeah. He doesn't want to leave Thorfinn, so he'll probably stay and you know, make sure everything pans out, or if things go bad, they can leave on ship with Thorfinn. And then I do end up thinking that I think Kettle will lose the war. I don't think they'll win. I think Kettle will probably die. Thorgo will probably die. Thorfinn will stay alive. Einar will stay alive. And so will Arnhight. And like right at the end of the war, they'll find a way to escape with Leif. And then Thorfinn will have a newfound thing to do. Because he was like, I want to free slavery. I want to, you know, make sure nobody has to feel any pain or anything. And he'll realize that I kind of have to fight Canute to make that thing happen.
Okay.
That's what I think will probably end up happening.
Okay. I think for Kettle, my opinion of him also doesn't change. I still think he's a nice guy. It's just when all this happens at once, he's not the most, he doesn't have that much mental fortitude to be like, he's not like crazy. Like, I feel like he's not really even acting a regular, really. Like, I think like Thorgal is crazy. Like, I think he built this farm up. It's what he cared about, loved. And now it's getting, he has to fight the king and like, kind of like a hopeless battle to save his farm, and the one person I guess that he felt like he could confide in that would make him feel safe and good was gonna leave him
and with no explanation. Like, he doesn't understand why either, because he treats her really well, and he doesn't like abuse her or beat her. I mean, the headmistress hits her, like she smacked her in the face, like when she was taking too long to make food. But from what we understand, Kettle doesn't abuse her, he doesn't beat her, he doesn't, you know.
Yeah, he doesn't do that. And then she's pregnant, but
he don't care.
Now he's unsure. He's like, I don't even know if it's mine.
I don't even know if that's my baby.
Believe me. He feels cheated on, honestly.
Yeah, I'm like, I really don't know. Like, that's why I also said, does he really understand? Do they understand? I'm pretty sure they understand, like, the way baby conception happens and stuff like that, but who else would she have a baby with from his understanding? Because she's always with him.
Thorfinn, Einar?
He might think Einar. Like, it might be, but it's like, if it was Einar, I feel like it would be like, yeah, you can't buy Einar either. I gotta talk to him. Or you know, like, something like that. Yeah. So.
I mean, I guess it could really be anyone. I mean, he's not always around.
Yeah, that's true. But she's always with him. It seems like she's always with him. Remember when when Einar first seen her, and he thought it was his daughter?
Okay, yeah.
So I think she's always with him, for the most part.
Well, I guess we'll see. I think the war will obviously happen. I think that, even though Canute said he would try to not fight.
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
But that's Thorgal's not going for that, and neither is I think those stories about Kettle might be true, and they might not be.
That's what I was gonna say.
Because he had that sword in his chest, and I'm like, all right, maybe he really is that guy that was just, you know, rampaging. And but I'm still kind of unsure, because his dad made it seem like he's not that way. So I don't know. And we don't even know, did he die? Did he, like, fully die now?
The dad? No, I think he's still alive.
Okay.
They never showed him.
They never dying. Showed, like, a funeral or nothing.
Yeah. I also was getting the feeling that he might also actually have been Iron Fist Kettle. Maybe he just, like, got away from that life and didn't like it.
Kind of like what,
Thor's Thor was trying to do.
Oh, Thor's, yeah.
Yeah.
That might be it, because he showed a lot of rage in that episode. So, I feel like Arnhide, like, for people who live through this, I think Thorfinn and Einar, obviously. I could see Kettle dying. I could definitely see Snake dying. Arnhide, I'm kind of either or. I feel like she could die or live. Leaf, I would hope, would live through this.
Yeah, I think Leaf, I don't think Leaf would die.
But Snake and his men, I could definitely see dying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a good episode. All the episodes were good this week. But I guess we'll see what happens. We're talking about Heavenly Delusion this week. I thought it was a good episode. It was very funny.
Yeah, I thought it was a good episode, too. It was really good. I did find it kind of interesting. I kind of had suspicions last week. I didn't really say nothing about it. When they were like, we have a place with 100% water. Like, yeah. Drinkable water. And then, because she was like, how do they judge this? Like, and he was like, just based on looks. But, and then he was like, or she was like, probably based on how it looks. And then he was like, isn't that subjective? How drinkable water is based on looks? And it's like, if this place had 100% water, why would there not be like a hotbed of people and, you know, life in this area? Like, that would be a thriving town if the water was 100% drinkable, especially in the current conditions that the world is in. So they're going there because it was like, we got to make a stop to the immortal. Was it immortal?
I forgot. I said it last week by mistake. Immortal. I don't know. Immortal something.
Yeah, immortal something. Because they're like, that's probably where heaven
mortal
is.
Immortal order?
Yeah, know. Immortal order. Immortal. Oh, my God. Immortal order. And so. and so they're taking their stop there. And then they get to a hotel. Or a girl who's holding. Who's like, she runs a hotel. She's like, hey, do you guys want to sleep here? I can take your bags and stuff. And, you know, and then she was the main character was like, no, we're fine. But then she changed her mind because she was like, we're just stepping through. But then she was like, actually, yeah, we'll leave our bags. It'll make it easier to, you know, travel.
Is this before or after they get stuck on the bridge thing?
Oh, this is before. Oh, they okay. Did find, no, this is after, this is after, this is after. No, it's before, it's before. Because remember, they come through, they find the bear when they go inside the water place. Because they were like, I want to see this water. Because I'm assuming they were going to, like, get bags or bottles and, you know, like, fill them up. So when they travel, they'll have fresh water to just drink. And then, so prior to getting to that place, like the well or whatever, I don't even know what that was. It might have been the dam or something. And then the girl was like, yeah, you guys can stay here, you know, leave your bags. And she was like, no, we're actually just coming through town. We're not trying to stay tonight. And then she was like, actually, you know what? We'll leave our bags here. It'll make it easier for us to walk around, reduce the load. And the girl was like, they didn't show this on screen, but as they were leaving, the guy was like, why did you do that? Like, you just gave that girl free money, basically. And she was like, yeah, I know. And he was like, well, she robbed us. And he was like, and she was like, she won't do that because she told us to take all our valuables with us before we go. So she like, she's not going to, even if she goes through our stuff, it's nothing she could steal. And she told us to take, you know, all our valuable stuff with us. And so then they're walking, they get to this like entrance and it's dark. And then when they get in there, they see a guy begging for help. Like, oh, it's a monster. Help my partner. Help my partner. And he just laid out and his partner's on the ground with like cuts on his back, just bleeding, sitting in the water. And the dude, our main character guy, he just hopped in the water. She was like, don't get in the water. You don't know if that water's like, you know, it could be electrocuted. You know, like, you know, yeah, you don't know. Like, you can't just hop in any random body of water. Yeah, anything could be in there. And she grabbed a rock and walked in too. And then they were looking around and then the bear pops up. And they're like, oh, at first, I guess they thought it was a man eater. Yeah. But the bear was like, half the bear's fur was gone. Like, it got burnt or something. Like, the top half, it was like no fur. And then the body was fur. And then they're getting chased by the bear. And I don't know why she didn't shoot the bear. She shot the pole to, like, cut the bear off so it couldn't get, you know,
keep chasing him. But I'm like, the bear could just climb over that. And that's exactly what the bear did. It just climbed over whatever she shot. And so then they're running and they find like a little pillar and a ladder. They climb up there and then they're just chilling there for hours trying to devise a plan. And then that's when they actually like took a nap, I think, up there. And
they were like, all right, until like sunset.
Yeah, they woke back up and they're like looking around. They're like, I think the bear's gone. And then she's told old dude to hop down to see if the coast is clear. And he was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then she was like, or no, actually, she dropped the battery. She dropped the battery. And then because she was like, I got at least one shot left and it might not be there or whatever. And he was like, well, you don't know that. And then she was like, yeah, I'm gonna warm it up with my hands, warming up the battery. And then she dropped the battery, like warming it up with her hands. And then she was like, you know, I got to tell you something. He was like, what? She was like, I dropped the battery. I need you to go down and get it. And he was like, what? I'm not going down to get that. And then I don't think she promised him this at first. I think it was the second time because he had to go down two times. Or maybe it was the first time.
I think it was the first time.
Yeah, the first time. And she was like, he was like, I'm not doing it. And she was like, the bear's gone. And he was like, you don't know that. It could be hiding out. And she was like, you know what? I'll promise. He was like, I'll let you touch my boot. And then he just jumped down before she even finished the what she was going to say. Jumped down, got the battery, and then the bear hopped out from behind the car, chased him back up. He went back up, and then he was like, oh my, so it was waiting for us, da da da. And then they devised a plan. She was like, all right, you'll hop down, and I'll jump down with you. The bear will chase you, and then I'll shoot the bear. And then if I die, I die, but as long as you make it, it'll be okay, and just keep running. And so they do the plan. They both jumped down. Also, she was like, she started feeling, I keep saying she, he started feeling, I mean, it is a girl, but it's a dude. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
she felt better because the dude was like, you're useful and you're helpful. Because in the past, when she was younger, she didn't feel useful and helpful because the guy that she looked up to, the leader of the orphanage group, would tell him like, hey, don't like, follow me, stay home, like, you know, like, you're not helpful, you're getting in the way and you'll get hurt and all this other stuff. So when the dude was like, yeah, you're super helpful, like, if it wasn't for you, I would have been dead so many times. And then that gave her the courage to actually like go through with the plan. And because at first she was going to give him the gun and let him just go down and try to shoot the bear, and then when the bear got shot, she was going to jump on the bear as like a cushion. But instead, they both really jumped down high together.
And she doesn't. Yeah. She just has a regular body.
Yeah. Because his body's like superhuman. And he can jump from. Because he literally jumped down. He like grabbed the wall and like used that to slow him down a little
bit. We skipped something.
What?
We didn't talk about when she first like blocked the bear, like their first plan. And he said,
oh, yeah.
He said, fatal dive.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah. And then, but I like that better than Maru Touch, fatal dive. Like,
it was so funny, though.
Or because fatal drive. Just, like,
pulled it out of nowhere.
Yeah. It was and very it didn't random. Work. And it, yeah. Because it's not a man eater. It only works on man eaters. But it looked like later he was about to do it on a girl.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, he was, like, weirded out.
Yeah.
But so what happens? She like breaks her fall, kind of like parkouring on the parkouring wall, yeah, on the, a little bit.
And then he's running, and then the bear is starting to chase after him at first, and then it changes back to her, and then she just lines it up, shoots the bear in the face, and the bear falls down, and then she just laid out like, I can't believe I did that. And then old dude came back, and she was like, oh, you didn't run away. And he was like, you really thought I would leave you? Like, what the heck? I can't believe you thought that of me. And then they get back to the hotel. They tell him, like, hey, some dudes down here who need help. They help them off. They go away. And then they stay the night in the hotel. And then this is when it gets creepy. Because dude's like, She's like, oh, that was a crazy day. You know, like, she's just ready to go to sleep. And then she was like, why are you in my room? Like, we got two rooms. Go in your room. And then he was like,
he just got up.
Yeah, he closed the door. You just see his back. And he's like, did you forget your promise? And she's like, what are you talking about? He was like, your promise. Lift your shirt. Like, what? He's like, lift your shirt. And then she's like, no, no, no. She shows pictures of her as a boy. It's like, if you still want to do this after you see this, then, you know, I'll let you do it. At first, he tried to give him like a excuse, like, oh, this is my sister's body, and I would feel super bad if you were, you know, I feel like it would be disrespectful to my sister if I let you touch, you know, my sister's body, and I hold it dear to me and stuff like that. And then he was like, whatever, lift your shirt. And then
that'll make me no different.
Yeah, she showed the pictures, and he was like, look, I don't care.
Me. Like, I'm lift a your boy. Shirt. Like, look at
yeah. This. And then he like mounts on top of her, and then the girl comes in and is like, hey, read the sign. Keep the rooms clean.
Wait, yeah.
Don't make a mess.
Because he's trying to pull her jacket, and she made a sound.
Yeah.
It sounded like a girl. They were like, whoa, you really sound like a girl.
Yeah. And then the person came in. She was like, what are you doing? Get off her. Go in your room. And then she takes him in his room, and she's like, how about you try me?
I was like, what?
And she was like, you can trade me a solar panel or something else, and you can do whatever you want. And then he was like, what?
It's like, Nani.
He was like, what? At first, I think he was down to do it. He was okay. She, like, stripped instantly. She was ready to go.
I don't think he was okay the whole
time. Not the whole time, but at first he was like, and then he was like, okay. And when she grabbed his hand and put his hand on her chest, prior to, like, the split second before he did, like, the fatal dive thing, I think he was like, oh. He was like, okay, this feels, like, amazing. This is great for a second. And then when that thing started happening, then he was like, oh, no, what the heck? And then somehow, because he started screaming because she was, like, going on to him, like, crazy hard. And then he was like, no, stop. And then the girl came in, like, what's going on in here? And somehow he ended up, like, mounting her from behind while she's fully naked. I don't even know how that, like... His pants are down. And then he's like, I got it in. Sis, I did it. It went in. And she's like, what went in? Like, what are you talking about? And then
he's like, I don't know how to explain this. Like, my brain is like overwhelmed.
And then he kind of was like sad about it because he was like, I don't know what to say, how to explain it. And then after that, they're both like on their knees begging, like, sorry, saying sorry and stuff. And then it was just weird. And she was like, yeah, you know, I just want to be
king of hotels.
Yeah, king of hotels. And like, hotel. She's basically a hoe. She was like, and I'll just have sex with all the visitors who I find attractive because I can get money from that. And she was like, I figured out at a young age that anything that brings pleasure, you can basically make money off of. So I want to have the best hotels, and I want to fuck everybody who I think looks good for money. Basically.
Speech. It was like a very Luffy King of the Pirates esque speech. Like, you want to be king of the hotel.
And then they wake up in the morning, and then they get news that the guy died. And also the guy inside that they found that was like injured was the guy that he fought earlier. It was the leader of the group.
Oh, really?
And then she also figured out that they were set up too. Cause she was like, that's not 100% clean water. The person that sold me this map must have been in on it, and they were trying to trap us in there so they could beat us up and take our stuff. But it was luckily it was a bear down there that messed them up before we got there, so they couldn't trap us.
Right. And then I'm just going to speed through some of this other stuff. Just got to go to work soon. Other stuff that happened, the girl lookalike in the school, she had this dream of this floating person that looks like an alien.
Yeah, that was the girl that hung herself. But she looked like an alien.
Yeah. Like, she had
so
a dream
she
about
must
her.
Have been like prototype one of Maneater ex-human. I think she was like the the OG. Because she was older than everybody, too.
And she
committed suicide.
The girl also had a dream she was getting infected with, like, a disease.
Yeah.
The scientist guy finds out that it was that girl whose boot it was, like, in the lab with the babies.
I don't think he found out. I think he had because they all got the same boots. But he was just looking at the boot super hard. He was like, it must have been one of the kids. I don't know if he thinks it's her, but I think he was
sure it was her.
You think he was sure, like, guaranteed it's her?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he, like, was like, oh, it was her. Like, I think that's what it was. What else happened? The hotel girl found out that the guy died that was down there. And then she was sad about it. And then they offered her to come with them.
Come with, yeah. But she and then she like, did the King of Hotel. Or she didn't even say that. He was like, just make sure you keep your promise and become the King of Hotels.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like, I'll come back and we can be friends or something like that.
And they walked off and they're holding hands. And then there was a guy on a camera. I don't remember that. But then the girl and the dude that she was outside talking to that one day, they got dressed and they were about the kiss in their room, and I think that was just the end of the episode.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, the girl lookalike and the guy she was talking about that one time when she was sad, like, outside, like, they got undressed in the same room at the end of the episode.
I thought it ended with them walking off, and then it was just, like, music.
It might have ended that way. I just know that this happened near the end of the episode. I don't know if it ended with them walking off or not.
Okay.
So let me get to Hell's Paradise.
I'll let you do this. Oh, yeah. Hell's Paradise. I'll let you do that one.
Okay.
We were right, though, about what we said about old girl.
Yeah, man.
About her being, like, the crazy good, but her mental is just holding her back.
Yeah. She showed that this episode. A lot of things came true for us this week. So they continue fighting the big man, the biggest man in the show.
The giant.
They show a little backstory about him, how he was just a little kid and he ate a lot. And I guess then he just got violent just because he was also hungry or something. I don't know.
I don't even think he was violent. I think he doesn't know his strength.
Yeah.
Because he would just, like, hit people and, like, plan and, like, not trying to hurt him, but he was just killing everybody. Like, what the heck?
So, yeah, that dude is just unstoppable. Very big teenager. So then they're fighting the big dude. He's throwing him around. It's really just Gabi Maro for the first part of fighting. He's just trying to figure out how to fight him without dying because the guy is, like, really strong.
And he used, like, every technique he knew, too. And it was doing nothing.
He's like shooting rocks. He's swinging trees. I don't know. He's doing a bunch of different stuff, trying to figure it out. And then he kept having visions of him just like getting smashed and destroyed. The ninja girl did not help at all. they just sat in the tree and observed. And then what happened? I think the defining point, does she go over to the dying guy?
She went to the dying guy and talked to him, and then he was like, I may have been wrong about you. You found, like, your way of life. It's, like, right in the middle of both. And that's who you are, and that's who you should be.
He's like, you're both people at once. Like, you have a full range of emotion, basically. Like, you're just both people. So she's goes over Gabi Maro. He gives her the sword that he had. And then she joins Gabi Maro in the fight. And she's like, you're not fighting him right. Like, you got to strike him, like, in between his tendons and joints. Like, that's how you cut him. So then she joins him. They're fighting together. And they're trying to get a good shot in. But he's just, like, deflecting. And, like, she's slicing him. But he's, like, really hard. Gabi Maro gets hit with a palm. he is like flat and like he's like bleeding out everywhere, but yeah. Like he's like, you know what? I can take one of those. You know, I'm not dead. Like I now know if I get
hit. Barely took one of those. Yeah. Because he was like not able to get up. Like he was like, move, body move. Like I'm not done. And he was just bleeding like a sponge. He just like,
yeah, I'll say like it was just spraying out of his like orifices. But he comes back. She's fighting the dude. And then I think he does like a bunch of like ninja moves like in a row to like set the forest on fire.
Yeah, he's like, I know what we can do. And she was like, I need him to be bent over so I can cut his, you know, get his neck and cut his neck off. And he was like, all right, I got a plan. He set himself on fire. He shot a bunch of rocks and then he set the whole forest on fire. And it was like monoxide poisoning because he was so tall. And since they're so short, the smoke didn't affect them. And he was just choking on the monoxide, and then he fell over, and then she went up and found the opening, and he was about to move, but Gabimaru grabbed his hand and pulled him down, made sure he stood still, and then she was able to kill him with no pain. And I'm not gonna lie, I feel like she found, like, all her inner conflict was just solved, literally, in that episode.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I still feel like part of it is because he's still, like, a criminal, and she had to still like rationalize.
That is true. Like he was like, he also said that the guy on the tree that was dying, he was like, when it comes to criminals, she doesn't care. Like she doesn't even have to second guess about, you know, executing them. But when it's monsters, she's like in her head. But when it's a criminal, it's like she doesn't care and she just does what she has to do.
Which is weird because the monsters look like unearthly.
Yeah, and they don't seem like they have any. You know, like, I don't know. It seems very backwards. You think it would be the other way around. Like, she would be okay with killing the monsters.
But, yeah, she calmed down completely. And then she killed the big dude and then held his head, his decapitated head. And was kind of like, yeah, like, you get to die now. Rest in peace, basically. And then they got to get away from the fire, obviously. So they run out of there. And then what they do. They're talking about like some monks or some kind of sages or.
Yeah, the other guy, your favorite character was talking to his brother, and his brother was like, yeah, apparently there's hermits here or monks, and they create these monsters and they use like this magic to protect the island or something like that. Or like it's rumors that people live here. Like there's regular people that live here. And then he was like, all right, well, let's go find them. And then, I think it cuts back to this. No, you're right. It was for them, but they didn't say anything about the monks. They just found like some area with like houses and stuff. And they're like, what is this? And then it cut to the other guys and then you got the monk talk. And then he was like, all right, well, let's go find them. And then they ran and then they see these two girls just first off, they had the one biting to the freaking
fruit.
And then it was just nothing but white stuff. And I'm like, all right, bro, like, come on now, what are we doing? Just dripping from her mouth. And I'm like, okay, all
it's
right.
A horny week, man.
Yeah. And then they start kissing and they're both butt naked, just fully unclothed French kissing with all this white stuff dripping from their faces. And I'm like, all right, bro, like, all right, bro.
The brothers just staring at them, and then
they're like eyes wide open, like, what did we just see?
And that was the end. I really liked her character development in this episode. Would you say you like her more or no? Her same.
Yeah, I like her more. I think she's realizing who she is and, you know,
that's all
she can be. Because her skill is unmatched. The dude even was like, she's like top one when it comes to
sword. He said that
she's
like better than first rate. That's what he said.
So.
If she's not thinking. But if she's thinking, then obviously she's like paralyzed. So I guess we'll see. I don't know if she'll revert back at any time during the rest, or the rest she'll just be like calm. I guess we'll see. And then I'm seeing people hype about like the two girls kissing in the tree, so they might be like really crazy.
Hyped in what way?
I don't know. I just seen people saying like, oh man, like I'm ready for them to show like these characters. Like the
they're
ones
probably like
the
fuse
tree
or something.
It's probably gonna be some weird stuff.
And I feel like they're gonna turbo thought.
Yeah. Yeah, like four arms and four legs or something. I feel like it's gonna be nasty. Like, I feel like there's gonna be like a wide like juxtaposition. But yeah, that was everything this week.
Yep.
Any what was your episode of the week?
Episode of the week, probably Demon Slayer.
Okay. Mine was probably Heavenly Delusion, just because I was laughing like the whole episode.
Yeah, it was a really good episode. The thing with Demon Slayer for me was like the animation just got so crazy, and it looked so good. And like Tanjiro and the dude standing behind him, like the symbolization and everything, or the symbolism. And then when he did the move, it was just like, bro, what the heck? Yeah. And then the Genya thing, I was kind of glad I was right about that. So, well, we don't know for sure, but I think I'm right about that.
We'll see. We'll hopefully get explanation next episode.
Yeah.
But I'll say Demon Slayer definitely be my best animation for the week.
Yeah, same. Moment of the week, though. I got two. It's Tanjiro using the sun breathing, and then old dude jumping down so that she was like, you can touch my boobs.
Oh, that was
very Denji-esque.
I think moment of the week, yeah, like it's kind of, there was a lot of good moments this week. For me, it's probably like a three-way tie. Like Kettle, and then Tanjiro obviously with his move, and then when the girl pushed him into the other room. It was like, all right, no, you should try me. That was really funny to me.
Yeah, that was... I'm like, what the heck?
Like, that just caught me off guard. I was not expecting that at all. And then, it's the episode of the week, animation. Do you have any predictions?
Well, I made my prediction for Demon Slayer when we were talking, like, he's going to fight Genya, and then the other dude is going to figure out a way to get out the water. And then I think the girl will show up when Tanjiro is fighting Genya. Heavenly Delusion, it's really a toss-up with that show. I think they're going to get to the... I don't think they'll get to the immortal thing yet, but I think it'll be more stuff with the other people, like the boy and the girl inside the school thing. I think it'll be more of them next episode. Because it wasn't really an even split. Usually it's an even split. Like last episode, it was a lot of the current characters outside, and then a very little bit of the people inside.
Right.
And then Vinland, I think Kettle is gonna get everybody ready. Kettle and Thorgo are gonna get everybody ready for the war. Because they'll make it. They're gonna be there. Canute said they'll make it in 3 days. Because the winds. So I think it'll be like not a time skip, but I think those 3 days will happen really fast in that one episode. And then the next episode, they'll show up on shore and prepare for battle. And then Hell's Paradise, I think they're going to explore that village, and it's not going to be people living there. It's going to be actually, I think they'll find remains of people living there. And it might be like one sole person, some old ass dude who has like a lot of knowledge, but he'll be super cryptic. And then the brothers will try to figure out what's going on with these two women. And I think they'll show the girl that's like innocent, and the other guy, and the other people, the guy who cut his hand off too. I think they'll show him as well.
Okay. I think for Demon Slayer, I think there's gotta be something we can get. Yeah, I feel like the demon isn't dead. I'm gonna go with that.
Oh yeah, yeah. But, I feel like I don't know. I do kind of feel the same way. Like it was too easy, but at the same time, it's like they got all four of their heads. Watch it not be simultaneously or something like that. But
I just feel like it would be a really like short way for the demon to go out, but. If there's just a bigger plot thing with Genya, then I could see that demon dying. But then
we got the pot demon, and he's higher than that other guy. So I think he's the main.
But in the intro, they show both of them fighting together. But he's still old in the intro.
Okay. With Vinland Saga, I think... I'm not sure. They might just do some preparations for the war and just explain it to everyone. I could see Canute and them being at the shore by the end of the episode. I feel like I could see that. Because they said, if with a good tailwind, didn't they say it could only be like two to three days?
Yeah, 2 to 3 days, yeah.
So I could see them showing up by the end of the next episode. Heavenly Delusion, like you said, they didn't really show the kids, so they might do a kids-heavy episode this week. Kind of hard to tell what's going to happen there. Maybe, well, the little kid is, the girl is having like visions and stuff, so maybe something will happen where she gets contacted from the outside at some point. I don't know. Hell's Paradise, I think we're going to see a lot of the Bandit Chief and his brother and the two girls. I think they're probably going to have some kind of weird fight. And then they do need to cut back to the guy with his arm cut off.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll see as much of Gabimaru and the samurai girl and the Kanochi as much next episode. But I also feel like if they see like one of the wise, like older guys, like, I feel like he might be like an enemy.
Yeah. Like, I could see that. I feel like he'd be like, why are you on our island? Leave.
Yeah. And like he'll be like magical or something. I can see that happening. But that's all I got for this week.
Same.
All right. If you made it this far, thank you for listening. Make sure you share, like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. This has been Weekend Weebs, episode 27. Peace out.
Peace.